Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings call of Juniper Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. We have with us today the management team of Juniper Hotels Limited, represented by Mr. Arun Saraf, MD, Mr. Varun Saraf, CEO, and Mr. Tarun Jaitley, CFO. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call and this presentation prepared by Juniper Hotels Limited has been solely prepared for information purposes and does not constitute a sale offer or any invitation to subscribe for or purchase of equity shares. The information and data which forms the basis of this presentation has been derived from sources that the company considers to be reliable. Certain statements disclosed in this presentation or that may be disclosed over this call may relate to company's growth prospects that are forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities law and regulations. These forward-looking statements are not the guarantees of future performance as they are subject to known and unknown risks which are beyond the control of the company. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arun Saraf, Managing Director, Juniper Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Corustine. Thank you. First of all, I would like to welcome all our investors who have participated in our IPO and now have become part of our community, and all the representatives of various funds and investor cells. This is our first investor call, and please be mindful that the company has been listed for just 3 months today, and this is the first quarterly result, and we are also reviewing the first yearly result of the financial year 2023-24. And going forward, we are expecting a wonderful year in the 2024-25. Thank you for participating in our IPO and supporting the company. We had a very successful IPO, and all our commitments in terms of usage of funds have been as per our disclosed in our DRHP and other documents. I will ask our CFO to give you an update later in his presentation on this. We had a very good 2023-24, and it was the highest revenue ever. We have seen growth in all across all segments and both occupancies and ARRs. The hotels have, Bombay and Delhi have been very, very exceptionally good performers over 20, in the financial, compared to financial year 23 and 24. We have been very much encouraged, and the trend also continues in the 24-25 financial year, and we expect this to continue for a considerable future. No significant supply increases are expected in our markets, so the demand will continue to outstrip the supplies, and as also confirmed by many of the hotel hotel experts, hotel sector experts. Hotel industry is in what has been predicted is being growing, expected to grow at 3 to 5% in occupancy and 6 to 8% in average room rates. Your hotel, JHL, Juniper Hotels Limited, has initiated the Juniper 2.0. What it means is that we have recast ourselves as a company which is now forward-looking, looking with an aggressive growth strategy, and in terms of both existing assets would be expecting to have higher revenues, and also we would like to be in the market to acquire more assets, both in brownfield and greenfield opportunities. At present, we are now upgrading many of our facilities in our existing hotels, and these will also result in handsome increases in our revenue in the coming year and in the future. In terms of our commitments, earlier also shared with yourselves, Juniper will exercise its ROFOs with as disclosed in our DRHP and RHPs, and we shall be aggressively pursuing a growth strategy to increase our capacities in different markets. We are at present focused on large assets in strategic locations, and large assets meaning that they would be in size and scale with having multiple revenue streams. I would like to now hand over to our Tarun Jaitley, our CFO, to make the formal presentation to yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Saraf. Good evening, everyone. So just taking on from what Mr. Saraf has said, FY24 has certainly been a very milestone year. We have achieved highest ever revenue of 826 crores. That's 150 crores of incremental revenue and a 23% YOY growth. This is, as I said, been the year of the highest revenue for the company. We have had a successful IPO. We've raised 1,800 crores in the IPO, pure growth capital. And we've utilized 1,400 crores as of today to repay debt and significantly strengthen our balance sheet and the consequent ratios. We are now very well set given the tailwinds that we see in the sector. We are very well set to embark on a journey for Juniper 2.0, which will be driven by organic and inorganic growth. As of March 24, Juniper had 7 operating hotels. Next slide. Moving on to slide 3. 1,895 keys with a revenue of 826 crores and 320 crores of EBITDA. Next slide. This is the portfolio of assets. I would like to reiterate, we perceive ourselves to be big box asset owners, and that has been the key strength for Juniper.
This is Varun here. To give you a bit of the city overview, right, I'd like to start with Ahmedabad. So in Ahmedabad, we added 59 rooms in Q3 last year. Initially, we saw strong demand given the ICC World Cup, but this has continued, and we have seen occupancies maintain going forward. The manufacturing-led growth in the state has resulted in strong occupancies and ARRs, which are consistent, and we believe that the city will continue to show good demand going forward. Lucknow, another city where we have actually seen new demand generators come in. With the opening of the Ram Mandir in Ayodhya, an entire new segment has been created, a segment for religious pilgrimage which has come in, and this will continue to drive occupancies at our hotel in Lucknow. Delhi has restricted, in our segment, there are no hotels that are coming up. The next hotels are probably 2 to 3 years out, and we continue to see strong occupancy and ARR growth. Mumbai, where our flagship is, has seen some hotels come in to the market, but that is in the upscale segment and not in our luxury segment. There was a slight softening of demand, but pace has picked up and we are well positioned for the coming months. New demand generators, which are fed by the NMACC, the convention center, which has opened up in Bandra Kurla complex, will continue to generate new business in the city. Next slide, please. So as you can see, our focus, our segments are the luxury and upper upscale segment. And within these two segments, where we are positioned, the supply will be limited and demand seems to be very strong. Having multiple streams of revenue has only boosted our numbers. This is something that we take great pride in. All our hotels, the large big box hotels, have multiple revenue streams, and this has actually benefited us. Long-stay business continues to generate good revenues. With the increase in investment in the infrastructure space, we have seen a lot of FDI coming in, and this has generated long-term business for our service apartments. Foreign companies that have actually sent their expatriates into the country, especially in Delhi and Bombay, have resulted in increased occupancy in the service apartment segment. Room business has continued to show great consistency. Year-on-year occupancy has increased marginally, but the ARR growth has been upwards of 10%. So as you can see, room business has been consistent and it will continue to be consistent. F&B, which is 30% of our total revenue, is driven by banqueting. Banqueting we see going forward will continue to add, make good headwinds. And keeping this in mind, we are in process of adding two additional banqueting spaces, one in Grand Hyatt Bombay, which should be operational in Q3, and one in Ahmedabad, again, operational in Q3. So we do believe banqueting will continue to be a strong growth segment within the F&B space. Finally, utilization of our marginal spaces, where we actually lease out commercial spaces, will continue to generate good profitability as well. Can we go to the next slide, please?
Thank you, Varun. Just from a performance matrix perspective, the key point that we would want to get out, this presentation is, you know, on our website and on NSE, so I will walk through this very quickly so that we can get to the question and answers. So from a key performance matrix, the key point to get out from the slide is that whether on a quarter, or, you know, this YOY for the quarter or for the full year, we maintain very high level of occupancies and still been able to add 1,500 rupees delta incremental on the ARR. And that, you know, that's a high flow through to the bottom line. And that has been one of the key factors for the company. We believe, and luxury space in particular, comprises of Mumbai and Delhi, which is 74% of my revenue. So, you know, on that segment, we've been able to increase ARR by 1,500 rupees. We believe, given the tailwinds, the micro markets and the performance of Juniper within these micro markets, we anticipate and expect that this trend will continue going forward. Moving on to the next slide, financial performance. Next slide, please. Yeah. On a quarter-on-quarter basis for the Q4, we've achieved revenue of 248 crores, which is 3% quarter-on-quarter growth and 25% YOY growth for the quarter. We adjusted for other income. We have got EBITDA of 91 crores for the quarter, fourth quarter FY24. And adjusting for one-time items which appear in the quarter, we have maintained EBITDA margins over the last quarter. So on quarter, we have maintained, adjusted for one-time items, we maintained our EBITDA margins. On the fiscal FY24, 826 crores of turnover is primarily driven by a very strong 23% growth in top line. Again, you know, we are big box hoteliers. These are large assets and 23% top line growth YOY operating. And operating margins have been very strong and have been maintained. On the corporate EBITDA, adjusted for other income, the EBITDA is 311 crores, which has shown a 14% YOY growth adjusted for other income over the last year. On the, we have a reconciliation slide, which is slide 10. I will move quickly to that. Can we move to slide 10, please? Yeah. So this is the point that I was trying to enumerate, that our operating EBITDAs have been very strong and maintained. Juniper 45.4% and Chartered 35.5%. These are operating EBITDA margins. And on the reconciliation from the reported EBITDA of 311 crores, there were 20 crores of one-time non-recurring costs which were incurred in this last fiscal. Adding back that in, and also doing a like-to-like comparative, because in FY24, we had 6 months of Chartered. in FY24. That's the company that got amalgamated into Juniper as of September 23. And if we kind of, you know, add back the revenues last year for full 12 months of Chartered versus 6 months in FY24, you know, that would translate into an EBITDA of 343 crores in FY24 against 300 crores last year, which is a 14% plus growth in EBITDA and a strong EBITDA margin, which has been maintained year on year. Moving on to next slide. On the balance sheet side, as I said, one of the key highlights has been the 1,800 crore of fundraise. We have significantly deleveraged our balance sheet, paid down 1,400 crores of debt. Another 100 crores residual is underway, so we will achieve the 1,500 crore of debt pay down as per what we started out in the objects of the IPO. As on date, we have 1,400 crores of tax shield available to the company, and we believe that over the next 2 to 3 years, we will maintain tax neutral status. Next slide, please. This just gets out the transformation of the balance sheet matrices. Net bank debt to EBITDA going down to 0.7 from 5.7x, and then significant saving in interest cost, which is 160 odd crores, you know, which will be as a result of the debt pay down that we have actually paid out. There will be a further reduction in interest cost. We've replaced 416 crores of high-cost JP Morgan NCD. Just last month with ICICI Bank's long-term financing, we've got 2% delta interest saving in that. That is going to be incremental to this. So that will significantly strengthen our cash flows. None of this impact has been captured in FY24 because, you know, we just started paying down the debt post-IPO. So full impact of this will be felt in FY25. Moving on. So this I've already covered. You know, we paid down 1,400 crores. We have, as of date, we have 330 odd crores in interest-bearing deposits. Of this, we would pay down another 90 odd crores of debt to accumulate the 1,500 crore debt pay down. And the balance would be kept for growth capital, GCP, for growth capital, for strategic purposes. On the ICICI Bank, I've already covered, it's a 2% interest rate delta over JP Morgan NCD, which we've been able to close successfully, and that will also further help reduce interest burden on the company. Moving on to slide 14, key operational KPIs, manpower to room ratio at 1.02x is possibly one of the best in the sector. On the power units, we are still 22% below FY20 despite, you know, the full-blown capacity that we are operating on. On the guest profile split, we are still not reached the pre-pandemic international traffic, and that remains a positive, significant upside as we go forward, and we expect international traffic to pick up, which will drive occupancy and consequently ARRs going forward. Number of keys remain 1895, and this will move as we get into the next year through the acquisition you know, strategy that we will implemented.
Next slide, please. Next. So our focus continues to be in the luxury and upscale segment, and supply will be limited in these segments. You might have seen recently a lot of projects are being announced, but those projects are still 4 to 5 years out. So we do believe that we have a good headroom available for growth in the next few years. Furthermore, we believe that, furthermore, between 2019 till 2022-23, very few hotels were announced or taken up. So no hotels or very limited hotels will be coming online now. So we're very well positioned in our segments to actually take advantage of the market conditions. Demand will continue to outpace supply, as you can see, Ahmedabad, Delhi, Mumbai, and this is for the entire market. If you see in the luxury and upper upscale segment, the demand is even higher and the supply is even lower. So this is overall all segments averaged out. But within our segments, we will still continue to maintain good delta there. Some questions that have come up already, and I would like to address them straight on. We've been asked about the ARR growth specifically in Mumbai. So to start with that, I would like to state that Mumbai is our flagship, and we believe there is significant headroom for ARR growth still available for us. The first step that we had taken in FY23-24 was resegmentation, moving away from contracted airline crew business, moving away to group business. This has resulted in the first delta that you see. The overall ARR increase of 11% is contributed on that account. Going forward, we actually will be moving more away from the group business and focusing on the transient. And in order to achieve that, we have already initiated the entire refurbishment of Grand Hyatt Bombay, which all of you are aware of. Four floors, that is about 380 rooms, will be refurbished and ready in operation by Q2 of 2024. So, which is basically in 3 months, by September. 380 rooms will be fully refurbished for this transient high-paying customer. Furthermore, our Grand Club, the lounge, is also being upgraded to cater to this transient traveler. Two restaurants in the form of Cellini and the bar are also being refurbished. So this refurbishment at Grand Hyatt Bombay, which was long overdue, which has already been initiated and underway, will actually result in us being able to target the transient customer, adding to further upside on the ARR. Furthermore, we believe that we can also add to our occupancy rates by focusing on the weekends. Given that this is such a large hotel, MICE business has always been a good contributor to our overall demand. Weekends are usually low for transient, and now because we will have two banquet halls, since the second banquet hall will also come in, this will allow us to take in MICE business over the weekend as well as focus on the social business, city-generated business in the second ballroom. So if you see, what will happen is we will be able to drive additional occupancy, additional room nights over the weekend, which will add to our occupancy rates. Delhi, we have already done a significant catch-up compared to our competition set. Last year, we were trailing at 0.78, 0.79. That's according to the STR ranking. And we have already reached 0.89. We do believe there is further headroom here. In recent publications, we have read and we have come to know that the Delhi International Airport, that AeroCity, is actually going to go through a further enhancement. 6.3 million square feet of space is being added by 2027. This is 2.8 million square feet retail and 3.5 million square feet of commercial space. The next hotels to open in the AeroCity complex is still about 2 years out, and we believe that these 2 years actually is clear space available for our hotel to take advantage of that. As you can see, compared to the industry, we have grown on ARR on both hotels, and we will continue to do that going forward. Next slide, please. Again, just going back, there are two things we would like to highlight here. So the foreign travel is something that Tarun did mention on. We do believe that Q3 will see some leisure foreign travelers coming in, and their gateway cities are Delhi and Bombay, and both our hotels will be able to benefit from that. So there is further headroom available there. And one general comment, even with the ARRs the way they are, we're still at about $150. Regionally, the $250 is the minimum that we believe that we should be able to achieve. So there is a still $100 headroom, which is about 8,500 rupees, available to us. Next slide, please. You want to take this?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Varun. On the growth projects and expansion on the existing capacities, we are adding a banquet, which is a very high-end space in Mumbai. We're on slide 19, which is called the showroom. It's a 49,655 square feet high-end space, which will become operational in this year. In the next few months, we will start taking in business. So that will be a significant contributor for Mumbai. We are already undertaking a refurbishment of all the rooms in Mumbai, and that project is also on track. Already 180 plus rooms are under refurb, and we should be completing the total refurb by end of September 24. In Ahmedabad, we added 59 keys, taking the total count in Ahmedabad to 270. And I would like to add that despite the addition of the rooms addition has been really timed impeccably. We've not seen a drop in occupancy. In fact, it's benefited from ARR uptick in Ahmedabad and the business that we got from the Cricket World Cup T20. We've also added another F&B unit in Ahmedabad, a high-end local cuisine-oriented Sarvat, which is received very well. And last but not the least, on the inorganic front, we are pretty much on target on the various projects that we are working on to enhance the room count and also to get, in the overall strategy to make Juniper as the flagship company from a future growth perspective. The projects are pretty much on track. And, we are confident that we'll achieve, the stated objective here. So with that, I think, we come to the end of the presentation. And I would like to invite questions and we'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, any update on the acquisition of ROFO assets? If you can update on the recent developments.
Hi, Prashant. Tarun here. So as I said, the acquisition strategy is pretty much to get, for the promoters, the promoter family to utilize the ROFO available to them to get the assets into Juniper. There has been news flow, which I'm sure that you have picked up. That indicates that, we are in the process. The plan, things are moving as per plan. And there is that much that I can share with you. We will come back and share with you further details at every opportune time and milestone that we achieve.
Sure. So outside of ROFO assets, what would be our plans for growth on the greenfield new asset side?
So outside the ROFO assets, which are that we are seeking opportunities, both brownfield and greenfield. There are several opportunities that are coming towards, but we are evaluating each one at its own merit. We are not in a rush to go and acquire assets which are overpriced. We are seeking good value, and each opportunity will be evaluated and taken forward. In terms of greenfield, we are, as we mentioned during the fundraise as well, we are still looking out for opportunities in New Bombay, in Goa, at the Delhi Aero City as well. That will continue to be our focus. And as in when we have something, we will share with you.
Sir, as a vision, would you have anything in mind as to 3 or maybe 5 years down the line, how much keys you would want to have under your portfolio?
So hi, Tarun here. The aim is to add 1,000 plus keys over the next 2 years. Primarily, as I said, driven by inorganic strategy. And while we are doing that and implementing that, We would, as Varun said, we are right now actively evaluating value-accretive and profitable, developmental opportunities. At the end of the day, greenfield development is the key strength for the company. And we are right now actively evaluating land parcels, which can then be developed. We would have sufficient cash flows to fund these acquisitions of land and, implement these projects out. I also have Amit Saraf, who is the president, and he leads the developmental effort with the company. Amit, would you want to add something?
Hi, good evening, everybody. So apart from the land and the greenfield, we are also looking at opportunities which are available in the market, which had been in some sort of a problem, could not be opened. So we are exploring opportunities in different markets in Bangalore, Hyderabad, Cochin, and those are also in serious discussion. So those opportunities are also available, which can be added over a period of time.
Sure. Mr. Jaitley, what will be the CAPEX plan for the year?
So CAPEX, we are talking about normative CAPEX, including refurb of 100-odd crores. So it is not significant CAPEX. Most of it is already expended, Kunal, last year. And, fresh CAPEX is going to be roughly 100-odd crores. The significant CAPEX, for ongoing projects would be for constructing 300-odd keys on top of Grand Hyatt. That is something that would happen in FY26. That would be, again, funded through internal accruals. This number that I'm sharing with you is primarily just the expansion enhancements on existing, capacity. Obviously, there would be additional expenditure that would be done or investment that would be done for acquisition, if there's a acquisition that Juniper needs to fund, that would be over and above this.
Sure. So lastly, before I jump back to the queue, so the standalone numbers for us were a bit weak on a YOY basis for the quarter. Any reason would you like to allude to that?
So I believe you're talking about the EBITDA, Kunal?
Yes.
So, yeah, there is, as I said, when I was going through the presentation in the quarter, there is a one-time expense relating to IPO, which is roughly around 12-odd crores. And if you actually add that back in, there is a growth in EBITDA, and also the margin is, slightly higher than last quarter. 41% plus. So, the numbers that you see are carrying a one-time cost element, which would obviously not be there going forward.
Sure. I'll join the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. My first question was on the outlook for FY25. Would you like to share any guidance in terms of revenue growth or on, also on the margin side?
So Kunal, the only guidance I would give you is that we would outperform the micro markets that we are in. At the end of the day, luxury and upper upscale is 93% plus of my key count. 70% plus is Mumbai and Delhi, and if you look at the data as on even the last month on ARRs, we are outperforming what is the growth witnessed in Mumbai and Delhi as micro markets, and these again are large assets in both the cities. So, the growth would be, healthy. We would outperform the micro markets there and would be driven by ARRs and maintaining occupancy fairly healthy. So that would be the kind of overall theme that we see playing in. In addition to that, new projects, which is, in Mumbai, the ballroom, that will add incrementally in FY25. And also we would see return back to the full capacity of lease rentals. You know, they were kind of impacted because of the disruption that was caused as we were constructing the ballroom. So these would be incremental additions overall to the overall revenue, in addition to what is, you know, the organic operating growth. On the margins, as I said, you know, ARRs are a high flow through, so that would be, you know, a positive influencer for our operating margins. And, you know, we believe that we are, as of now, outperforming our internal budgets for the year. So that is a positive that I would like to emphasize and share with you. So I believe that, you know, we will see a, you know, going forward, we will see a growth which is in excess to the market, and we would definitely see, you know, positive influence on margin expansion.
Sure. Just to follow up on that, you know, you said in your opening comments that, you know, the ARR growth in the luxury segment you expect it to sustain. So would you expect 15% growth that we saw in 24 to sustain in 25 as well?
Well, you know, so if you just look what is happening, again, so there are two elements to it, right? And I'm just sharing some data with you on Mumbai, you know, and these are year-to-date numbers up to March, for instance. You know, Mumbai ARR grew 5.5%, and for Juniper, we were, and this is not just the concept, this is the broader market I'm talking about. And, you know, we grew at above 9% in Mumbai year-to-date. As far as Delhi is concerned, it was a 14.6% growth, and for Juniper, it was 22% plus. And, you know, if you remember, you know, when we had gone out and met investors, you know, one thing we specifically said as a strategy is that 1 year ago we embarked on a catch-up strategy. You know, we were not sitting at number one with respect to our concept. You know, all the strategy with respect to, you know, looking at higher transient share, also repricing airline business. For instance, I'll share we increased airlines, you know, ARRs by almost 48% in Delhi and Mumbai, you know, since the last quarter or two. So that will also help. And in addition to all that, you know, Delhi, the kind of, you know, tailwinds that we're seeing in Delhi, given what's happening in AeroCity, it's a significant plus. You know, we believe that that market is growing at 22-24%, you know, which will help overall here our trajectory. Varun, you want to add anything more?
I won't focus on the percentage, I'll leave that to you, but in terms of the demand, right? So in Bombay, if you have to go back to the strategy, right? So we went away from contracted to group. That was the first phase, as I mentioned, and phase two is transient. Phase two is transient, and that will be, we'll be able to do that given the fact that we're refurbishing the hotel, repositioning it for that transient customer. Currently, that transient customer is paying higher rates across at the other hotels. So we believe that the rates in Bombay definitely has an upside. Even in Delhi, if you see, given the fact that demand is strong and there is no supply, we believe that we'll be able to keep the rates, and when demand picks up in the Q3 and Q4, we'll actually be able to drive rates even higher. So traditionally, Q1, Q2 is slightly soft. We all know from the industry, and the growth that you will see will actually kick in Delhi in Q3 and Q4, where you will see that upside.
Yeah. Just one more point I would add to what Varun said, you know, just kind of closing out on this point from our side. Kunal, is that, you know, the 9% growth in ARR that I spoke about in Mumbai is with zero contribution primarily or minimal coming in from refurb. You know, with the refurb getting completed fully by the end of December, you know, September, that will have a positive impetus. You know, we'll have a much more fresher product to offer. We will get the transient business back. That's a stated strategy, and that would automatically impact, you know, faster growth in ARR compared to our comp set. I hope that answers your question.
Sure, that's very, very, very helpful. On the occupancy side, if you can, you know, share similar breakup of occupancy between Mumbai and Delhi.
Okay, on the occupancy, you know, Mumbai, and Varun, would you?
Yeah. Give you the numbers and all.
So, you know, in Mumbai, we've seen a little bit of flattening out on the occupancy as a market. You know, but from our side, we've kind of maintained the occupancy levels in line with what's happening in the micro market, you know, despite the growth in ARRs. In Delhi, the occupancy level's grown 3.8%, and for us, it's increased by 4.8. And I would also add Ahmedabad there, Kunal. I mean, Ahmedabad saw a little bit flattening out of occupancy, and we witnessed a 3.5% growth in occupancy. And if you look at the current month ARR for Ahmedabad, you know, we've seen a 9% growth month-on-month, you know, in the ARR for Ahmedabad. When I say month-on-month, I'm talking about the current month versus the same month last year in Ahmedabad, 9% ARR uptick. So, you know, that's what we're witnessing as far as the occupancies are concerned. I think Mumbai will see occupancy hardening up by at least a couple of basis points. Varun, would you want to add more?
Our focus, again, going back to Bombay, right, our focus is to drive in weekend business. Weekend business, we believe, will contribute positively to the occupancy growth. And by adding this, so our strategy, overall strategy, is to bring back transient business. So we're taking steps along with the operator to actually chalk out a plan for that. And one of the areas where we did notice was the weekend business, right? The weekend being a large convention hotel, we're able to take in large convention-related businesses which add to room occupancy. Over the past year, because of lack of banquet spaces, we sometimes let go of these large businesses because there were city-focused social events which contributed high on the F&B. Now with this additional F&B space, we can do both. So we believe the occupancy growth will be there. At 80-82%, I think that is how the market sort of, these large hotels sort of taper out. But given where we are, the occupancies will remain, if not grow, by a few percentage points.
Thanks. And same will happen in Delhi also, or Delhi you think it peaks out in terms of occupancy?
So I think, again, Delhi, right, seasonality. I think Q3 and Q4 will be very, very strong in Delhi. We don't know which way the elections go, but we all have a sense. And I think with the government coming back and everything getting in line, I think Delhi will be a very, very strong market. And please keep in mind, Delhi actually has zero, if I may say, inventory coming online, right? So this will actually allow us to maintain our occupancies, and when demand does pick up, I think we will see that headroom. I think if I please correct me, Tarun, but we did see almost 90-92% occupancy rates in a couple of months. This is extremely high given Delhi's situation, and we believe Q3, Q4, we would do similar numbers if we can take any sort of sense from the past data. So I think on the occupancy front, we are very well positioned, and we will maintain, if not increase, by a few percentage points.
Plus, I think, Varun, you would have mentioned that point, right? I mean, there's really no new capacity, meaningful capacity coming up in Delhi. And with the new development there, with the largest mall coming in the micro market of Aerocity, those would also be additional drivers for business there.
Commercial space, Aerocity.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. The next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the employee cost front, would the 49-50 crore run rate continue for the entire year?
So as I said, there is an element of one time in the current year and the current quarter, you know, if you strip that out, you would see you know, a much more sustainable level of manpower cost you know, going forward.
Just to add to that, I will let you talk about the numbers, Tarun, but to give you perspective, Prashant, what has happened is, if you see, FY23 was the first year after COVID, right? So we were still not stabilized. 24 was the first year stabilized where all positions across the operating hotels were filled, including new expats, new specialized employees being brought in. So what you do see here is an increase, definitely. I believe this will stay consistent. Attrition rates have been high across the industry. So to retain, there will be certain increments that will be given across the board. But again, in terms of the actual cost, the jump between 37 to 48 crore that you see will not happen again.
That's
a one-time thing to realign with the market.
Yes. So there's a large one-time element there.
And sir, how much is it?
So this would be in the region of around 10 odd crores, roughly.
Okay. So now around 40 crores would be the quarterly run rate then.
Yeah, even that, as Varun said, right? I mean, we've kind of taken in as we, you know, FY24 was the first full-blown year post-COVID, you know, from an occupancy business standpoint. And to enhance the product offering, we did onboard some expat chefs and managers. And that is, you know, something which has impacted the cost of manpower in the current year and the quarter, right? Apart from the one time that we spoke about. So going forward, as the eras pick up, you know, you will see as a percentage of revenue, manpower costs coming down.
Correct. Sir, in FY24, what was the crew business mix and what could that be in 25?
I can share, you know, that detail with you, you know, offline, Prashant. But what I can say is that, you know, we have taken, as we, you know, as we embarked on the strategy of renegotiating contract rates, because, you know, we do with corporates and airlines, last November, December, you know, since then there's been a focused approach to renegotiate upwards the rate with the airlines, and if there were airlines which couldn't take on that rate, revised rate, we kind of, you know, let them go. That has resulted in, you know, a 48% growth in ARR from airline business, crew business, because of that in Delhi and Mumbai.
So just one data keeping question, what would be the breakup of revenue within room revenue, F&B and others for the quarter?
For the quarter, we have it for annual. Just give me a second. We will. Yeah, so on the quarterly run rate, right, I mean, it's mirroring what we've done on the annual numbers, right? You know, the room revenue is 48-49%. And your F&B has been maintained at around 30%.
And so would you have the last year same quarter number handy?
I can share that with you, Prashant. I can share that with you offline, Prashant.
Sure. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the IPO and a fantastic set of numbers. My question is on the one-time expense. If you could just explain in a little more detail what was the nature of these expenses of 20 crores?
Right. Hi. So on an annual basis, right? I mean, in FY24, there is, as we detailed in the you know, the slide during the presentation, there's a 20 crore one time. There are different elements to this. Majority, more than half of it actually, or almost 60%, if I can take that number, share that number, is IPO related. So whether that's, you know, listing fee, and IPO-related expenses, including, you know, management incentives, which are included in that. And then there is a balance, which is 20-odd percent balance is amalgamation-related expenses. If you remember that, you know, before we went into IPO, we got chartered in, so there were amalgamation costs, including legal duties and taxes, stamp duties that were paid. So, you know, that's a broad composition of those one time.
Sure. So just a small follow-up, sir. The employee expenses have gone up 30%. So is that right? If you know, if we deduce that It has gone up largely because of some part of the management incentives paid due to the IPO.
Correct. So that is what we were discussing, right? I mean, there is an element in the current quarter and the full year which relates to, you know, manpower one time in nature. If you strip that out, and also at the operating level, we have onboarded some expats last year to enhance the offering. These elements, you know, would, A, the, on the operating side, would stabilize as the ERAs go up. And if you take out the one time, you know, manpower as a percentage of revenue should kind of, you know, contract a little bit going forward.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thanks for taking out time to answer questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi again. Just wanted to understand on the brownfield expansion of that Mumbai asset. When do you plan to start it and by when that will get completed?
So it will start by FY26 and should complete by FY27.
So to answer your question, Kunal, preparatory work is already underway for Bombay. It's a long-run process because it's adding on top of the existing structure, right? So this the structural aspect, the MEP aspect is all underway. The actual construction, as I said, was FY26. It will start and it will be an 18-month window by which we will be able to construct it and get the whole thing open.
Understood. And you mentioned about, like, you know, improvement in occupancies at GHM. Would you, you know, in the, with, you know, 26, this, you know, you expect this to start, the brownfield expansion. Do you think that will have some bearing on the occupancies and ARRs in 26-27 because of the work that may go on there?
Yeah, so hi, Tarun here. I would like to answer that. In our internal planning and forecast, we have assumed some disruption that this would cause as we start construction of the additional rooms on top of Grand Hyatt. You know, not as much of an impact on the ARRs, you know, but yes, certainly on the you know, available rooms and occupancy, there would be a disruption impact which has been built into our forecast.
Sure, understood. And one last question. I mean, when I look at the adjusted EBITDA that you've you know, given in your presentation, that is post the one time of 343 crores, that's a growth of 14% on a like-to-like EBITDA of FY23. When I try to, you know, see this in conjunction with the ARR or the RevPAR growth rather, it's pretty much in line, right? RevPAR growth of about 15%. We saw consolidated versus 14% growth. You tend to assume that there will be some kind of an operating leverage due to the RevPAR growth, which will flow down into the margins or in terms of EBITDA growth. How should we read this? That, you know, should we expect that the EBITDA growth would be in line with the RevPAR growth going ahead?
So, you know, in our internal forecast and planning for the year, we are assumed that, as I said, you know, we will outpace the growth of the micro markets, and at the same time, because it will be primarily driven by improving ARRs and holding firm of the occupancies, you know, there would be in conjugation with new revenue streams coming in, like lease and incremental contribution coming in from, you know, the ballroom, etc., you know, there would be an expansion on the profitability going forward.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, sir. My first question is on, I mean, you have discussed this partly, but talked about, like, sort of growing, outgrowing your peers in micro markets. But how has been the ARR growth and RevPAR growth in like first 2 months for the three markets you operate in, and what is the absolute growth maybe for market what you're looking at, maybe not for yourself but for industry, how are we looking at for FY25 in terms of ARR and RevPAR growth?
Hi Prateek, I will, you know, I can share the YTD numbers with you, you know, year to date. So there are two elements to it, right? As we were discussing that on the ARR, you know, whereas the Mumbai market's grown at 5.5, we've grown in excess of 9%. And, you know, this going forward would be, you know, it'll gain further momentum going forward as we have a much more fresher product to offer because of the refurb and the elements that we just spoke about, right? The ballroom revenue plus the incremental, you know, lease rentals that keep on coming in are in addition to the ARRs, right? In Delhi, 14.6% versus 22%. You know, this is a market which will continue to hold strong, and we see this play out even in FY25. There is no capacity coming in, and if you look at all the data that you get in the micro markets that we are in, whether it's Mumbai, Delhi, or Ahmedabad, the demand is going to continue to outstrip the supply, right? So, you know, that's the trajectory that we see in Ahmedabad. There was an element, you know, last year where you had the ICC T20 World Cup business really shooting up the rates. But if you look at on a sustainable basis, we believe that despite a higher base in Ahmedabad, we will see the ARRs in Ahmedabad holding firm. You know, we've got 9% in March, you know, over a high base in Ahmedabad. And we believe that's a market where, again, there is not much of supply coming anymore. And, you know, we will benefit out of the 59 keys that we've added, and we believe that the ARRs will hold firm there as well.
And there is no impact of like this government machinery slowing down during elections, particularly in Delhi market. You said that 15% YTD growth in ARR in Delhi for the overall market. So there is no impact of elections on this.
You know, on that we will mirror what's happening to the sector, right? I mean, you know, that's an impact which is on the entire hospitality industry per se. You know, that's not something which is unique to us.
No, I'm saying, is there an impact? Because 15% growth doesn't seem to reflect any impact.
The 15, I mean, so the election happened over 2.5 months, if I'm not mistaken.
So we will resume from where we left off. Varun, would you want to
ask? So the question was the impact of the elections in Delhi. I think the first part is whatever the industry is going to face, that's going to be across. But the other part is, given the fact that elections have been spread across these 2.5 months, starting in March, going on into June, I think the Delhi election just happened last week. So what would happen is April, probably didn't see that impact. May, minimal impact. We do actually see the elections. There has been some softening, but it actually did not impact it significantly, if that answers your question.
Sure, that answer question. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand, why have you seen a drop in the ARRs in the upper upscale and the upscale segment on a quarter compared to Q3?
So, you know, if you look at the classification of upper upscale, we are talking about Ahmedabad, and if you look at the quarter on quarter, you know, Ahmedabad is the largest asset in that particular category for us, right? So that is what we were talking about last year in Q4. You know, we had this entire ICC World Cup business, you know, with T20, you know, last year we had, you know, if you remember, November, December period, we had the ICC World Cup, right? So that had kind of impacted, you know, created the high base. And if you look at, you know, we coming off those high numbers, there is a little bit of, you know, ARR depression because of that. But as I said, in March, On March, we have seen Ahmedabad pick it up, and we're seeing a 9% growth in the month of March on the ARRs in Ahmedabad. So that impact has got normalized, and you know, we're seeing now the growth in ARR coming back in.
Okay, 9% growth on?
You know, so for the month of March over the last March.
Okay, okay. And what about upscale? The ARR in the upscale segment has also gone down.
So in the upscale segment, we have Hampi, which is, you know, which is our sole asset in the Hampi segment.
And in that segment, so the we were undergoing the refurbishment at the hotel, which also resulted in certain disruption. But again, that business is driven by leisure segment, and that leisure segment did contribute. And also from the corresponding, the vicinity, we have a large steel, integrated steel plant there. So business is coming from there, but the drop is minimal. And we believe that this will be picked up going forward in Q3, Q4 again.
Okay, got it. Okay. And so your inorganic opportunities, it would be largely be funded by internal accruals, or would be, will you be taking on more debt, or maybe in raising more equity?
Right. So, you know, it, from an inorganic perspective, we have A, raised the GCP, which is the cash which we've got in deposit. In addition to that, going forward, depending on the size of acquisitions that we are looking at and the mode of acquisition, there may be a possibility of taking on some debt. But, you know, at any point in time going forward, we believe that we will not exceed, you know, debt to EBITDA of 2 to 2.25.
Okay. Debt to EBITDA of 2 to 2.25.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And lastly, so how many keys would the ROFO assets account for, like, and by when? Any expected timeline on that?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Could you repeat?
How many keys would the ROFO assets add to the company's portfolio? And by when?
Right. So as I said, you know, we have a plan of adding 1,000 keys over the next couple of years. You know, of the 1,300 keys are, you know, additional rooms that will be constructed on top of GHM. The balance would come in primarily from inorganic growth.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, our short-term debt has increased vis-a-vis last year. Any particular reason for that?
That is just a classification. See, what had happened is the 416 crores JP Morgan bond was due on the 10th of May.
Right.
So that is the reason that the maturity was 10th May, so it got classified accordingly. That's now been paid out through a 10-year door-to-door ICICI loan at 9%, which is 2% below the rate of interest of JP Morgan NCDs.
Sure. Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Tarun Jaitley, CFO, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank everybody for taking time out to attend Juniper conference call. This is the first analyst conference call for Juniper as a listed entity. We're very excited that you could take time out to participate. If there is any follow-on question or clarification, myself and my team are available to give you any information and all the clarifications required. Thank you again for your time and have a nice day.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of Juniper Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.